Annual visitor numbers are climbing with no end in sight, and many of us are beginning to wonder when enough is enough. Sumner LaCroix is a research fellow at UHERO, the University of Hawaii Economic Research Organization, who has looked at examples of overtourism around the world. We spoke earlier this week about how Hawaii can keep from being overrun.
Well, I think overtourism happens when a destination is just overwhelmed with tourists, when literally there's just way too many people for the destination to handle. And I think there's a few examples of that today. We're certainly seeing that in places like Venice. We're just plain, the number of tourists has just increased dramatically. And that's coming about because of the rise of tourism from Asia, particularly the rise of Chinese tourism. There's just so many people going to Venice that it's really questionable whether the city could ever handle that many people, regardless of what it did to try to improve infrastructure or price properly or have certain quantitative limits on major sites. It's just the city is being overwhelmed, and residents are finding that the city that they knew is just disappearing in front of them. There's not much of an experience left for the people who actually live in the city.
A lot of people in Hawaii are concerned that something similar could happen here.
Well, you know, we've had tremendous growth in tourism since the Great Recession, since 2007, 2009, when tourism turned down here. We've had a big increase in tourism. We will probably see 10 million visitors this year, if we're lucky. If not this year, probably the year after. One of the things I think with Hawaii tourism is that we set a goal a long time ago. About 25 years ago, various commissions were formed and met. What they said was that Hawaii could be the subject of overtourism. We could just end up with too many people here and too many people stressing the infrastructure, too many people using common property resources and leading to the tragedy of the commons. Tragedy of the commons where too many people using an unpriced, unregulated resource will lead to the degradation of that resource.
Tragedy of commons, an example being people swarming over a beach until it's covered with
swarming
trash.
Over a beach until it's just covered with people, covered with trash, and the experience is degraded so that no longer is it a fantastic experience. It's now just no different than anything else in life. Jones Beach, Coney Island might be an example of that.
Yeah.
Okay. But there was a goal set back in the 1990s to try to limit tourism growth, but to get tourists here who spent more money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what's happened? If we actually look at tourism expenditures over the last 25 years, and I'm going to leave out the last, like, 3 years. Let's stop in, like, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you read the newspapers, you find over and over again headlines about record tourism expenditures. But once you deflate those expenditures by the rate of inflation, once you take into account the overall rise in prices, tourism expenditures aren't much different than they were back in 1990. So let me repeat that. Over that period, 1990 to about 2015, tourism expenditures stayed about constant.
That's the money they're spending.
That's the money that they're spending once we adjusted for inflation. We actually had a very flat tourism industry, and that's because we had a big downturn in the 1990s.
Right.
We had growth in the early 2000s. We had another big downturn at the end of the 2000s. Now we've had growth in the last 8 years. And so, you know, actually tourism as a part of the state's economy has been declining over the last 25 years. We're not getting any more money being spent by tourists than we had back in 1990, a long time ago. On the other hand, the number of tourists that have come in has increased a lot. And so what we're finding is we're getting a lot more tourists who are spending less. Although it was our goal to actually get higher spending tourists coming here,
the average tourist
is moving in the opposite direction.
Are we spending more proportionally to bring them here?
Well, I mean, the passage of the transient accommodations room tax back in the 1990s made a huge difference in that. I mean, we were able to come up with promotional expenditures to try to attract tourists here. The Hawaii Tourism Authority has been oriented trying to get higher spending tourists to come to Hawaii. Although I think at times really they're happy if any more tourists come to Hawaii, but they've been trying to get higher spending tourists to come to Hawaii. But If we step back and we look at the average tourist now spends less, you know, and a lot less than they did back in 1990.
So that goal has failed.
That goal has failed. And, you know, it's interesting. So if you walk down Kalakala Boulevard, what you see is that the hotels there have all remodeled, and there's literally billions of dollars of expenditures that have gone into these new upgraded plants. And the people who are staying in those hotels are pretty well off. Mm-hmm. I think the people who come here and spend a lot of money. So why is the average spending going down? Well, the average spending is going down because there's a lot more people who are coming in and saying, I'm not going to stay on the hotels along Kalakaua. Instead, I'm going to go out to the neighborhoods. I'm going to stay in an Airbnb. I'm going to spend a lot less money. I'm going to buy some food at the grocery store. Not such a bad thing for these people. We're getting more budget travelers who are coming here, and they're being really conscious of their spending. I go to the Kapi'olani Farmers Market a lot of Saturdays, and I see a lot of Japanese tourists from Waikiki up there. I see a lot of other tourists up there, too, and a lot of people, when I talk to them, are buying lunch. Relatively cheap lunches can be purchased up there. Hey, this is great. If you're a budget tourist, you come here, you look online, you find you can buy some cheap, really good food at the Kapi'olani Farmers Market. You go ahead and you do it, but what we're finding, though, is that average spending is actually falling. We're bringing a lot more people here. Now, in some sense, it wouldn't be such a bad thing if people were coming and walking up to the farmers market at Kapi'olani Community College and buying lunch and bringing it back to their hotel room. There's not much stress being placed in the environment. But if then what happens is people are saying, oh, let me look online and see, like, where there are some hikes. And now people are going out and hiking. Which is what's happening. Hiking in the mountains and basically wearing down trails. And we're not maintaining the trails properly. That's a real big problem for us because for the simplest of reasons, people come here because of the natural assets that Hawaii has to provide. They come here because of the natural assets. They come here because of the culture. And if the natural assets wear down, ultimately we're going to find that the tourism industry here will wear down.
Those people who are enjoying their budget vacation, they aren't just walking on the hiking trails. They're driving on the highway at the same time everybody else is trying to get to and from work. On looking at Oahu now, this very crowded island.
Well, I think that's a really good point. We're seeing that the average number of tourists in Hawaii on Oahu on any given day has risen dramatically, and a lot of those people have rental cars and they're out there driving on the highways. Now that just goes back though to less tourism management and more just a general problem that government has had on Oahu, and that's just managing congestion. The traffic problem has been around for a long time. And there are tools that government could implement within the next couple of years, even before rapid transit, to try to manage, say, some of the traffic in H1. One would be congestion pricing. That's a tool that has been proposed for a long time. It's readily available. It's one that other places have used to their great benefit, London being a really good example.
Congestion pricing defined as what?
Congestion pricing being defined as you're charged a price if you travel on the freeway during rush hour. Would all be electronic pricing. What you could do is to refund all of the revenue that comes in from the congestion pricing to anybody who owns a vehicle. So all of us, if you never drove during rush hour, you'd get a refund back. You get a refund back even if you drove during rush hour. But if you drive during rush hour, you're paying the higher price. You're going to be paying something to drive during rush hour. What this would do is keep some people off the road, put more people onto buses, and also basically have people rearrange their schedules. Would allow businesses, government, individuals to rearrange their schedules more. There's a lot of reasons why we don't do stuff like this.
Would you collect those funds? From toll roads or?
Oh, I mean, it basically is a toll. It's essentially an electronic toll. When your car goes out on the highway, your license plate is checked and you're signed up when you register your vehicle. And when that vehicle passes over certain markers going into town at certain times of the day, you're charged a fee.
Like going in and out of New York City via the bridges.
Like going in and out of New York City via the bridges. Although I think London, where doesn't matter what road you use to get into the Central Business District during rush hour, you're charged a fee. And that's worked really well in London in reducing congestion. I think many people believe that, okay, it's not useful to do this until we actually get the rapid transit system working. But that's a real mistake to be thinking about that. If we actually wait to then for it to happen, it could take another 5, 6, 7 years for it to be implemented. There's a lot to be said to do what we can today to reduce congestion. And again, the congestion is coming about partly because of the behavior of residents and partly because of the increase of the tourism industry.
Sumner LaCroix is Professor Emeritus of UH Manoa's Department of Economics and a research fellow at UHERO, the Economic Research Organization at the University of Hawaii.